We spent about 5 weeks kind of not necessarily deconstructing, but unpacking John 3:16, looking at the gospel, hopefully trying to get a better understanding, a more full picture of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we looked at John 3:16 because it is, number one, almost universally known. It's probably the most known passage of Scripture in the Bible for both people in church and outside of church. And it is very easily recognized, but both inside and outside the church, we don't really grasp the fullness of this gospel. It is the whole of Scripture condensed into 135 characters. It's the whole of Scripture condensed into just a very short, concise message of God to His people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I hope as we walk through those five lessons, those five little nuggets of what it contains, and hopefully you got a fuller understanding of it. The main thing I want is like me, I want to grow more in love with this good news. Because it, as Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. I mean, it is good news because it is God's means of salvation. When we believe in Jesus, when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. And we looked at that. We dug through and kind of unpacked and looked at the layers of what all of those phrases mean and the depth and the width and the height of the love of God that's contained in that one short verse. But if that's all we do, just understand it more, appreciate it more, unpack it more, then we really have not done anything of any use. I mean, we need to know it more. We need to unpack it more. We need to fall in love with the gospel more. We need to be in awe of the gospel, what God has done on our behalf. But if that awe doesn't drive us to do, if it doesn't cause us to pursue people with that gospel, then it's really useless for us to dig into it. It's no longer good news. It becomes bad news. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And if the gospel is the only source of power of God to salvation, and we refuse to share that gospel, then we are now condemning the lost to hell because they don't hear the gospel. And if it's the only source of salvation and we don't share it, it is no longer good news. It is condemning news. And we have to struggle with our own salvation because Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We do that through the gospel. The more we understand the gospel, the more we understand the love of God, the more we can reciprocate that love back to Him. But He said the second commandment is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you love your neighbor, you're going to share with them the love of God. You're going to share with them good news. When we are connected with people and when we care about people, when we hear some good news, we like to share it. Unfortunately, some of us like to share bad news better than we like to share good news. But if we get good news, man, you study for a test and you really don't know if you're prepared or not, and all the class comes in there and everybody takes a test and you get your results and man, you just somehow smoked that dude. Man, you made an A on it when you was just begging for a B. People ask, what'd you make? I don't know. I hate to say it. I made an A. We're ready. We don't even wait for them to ask. What'd you make? You don't care what they made. You just want them to ask what you made so you can tell them. We invent ways to share good news. The greatest news in the world is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We invent ways to hide that. We come up with excuses not to tell it. When it is the source, it is the power of God to salvation for all who believe. So the next few weeks, I want us to just look at and just kind of think about how we can share this good news, how we can not manufacture, but how we can pursue and look for opportunities to share this good news. And we're going to look at some different ways in the gospel, in the Bible, that the gospel is shared. And we're going to look at different ways that apostles shared it, with different ways that Jesus shared it. We're going to look at some things that the Bible says that we can be about doing it, hopefully make some application to our everyday lives. I've been reading a book by Tim Keller. It's called Preaching, which it is written for preachers, but he has a lot of stuff to say about sharing the good news. Because what is preaching? What does the term preaching mean? To tell. It's the proclamation of something. And when we think of preaching, what I do here, yeah, I preach. I proclaim the Word of God. I try and rightly divide the Word of God and proclaim the truth of God's Word. But we're all called to be preachers. We're all saved to proclaim. We're all saved to share the gospel. And anytime you talk with someone about truth, you are proclaiming, you are preaching, you are letting them know what God's word says in relationship to them. And Timothy Keller identifies three ministries of the word. And he says, look, you can divide proclamation, you can divide preaching, just simply the ministry of the word, into basically three categories, three levels, he calls them. The first level is called casual conversation. I mean, it's in your everyday, day-to-day conversations with people. People that you know, people you have connections with, maybe somebody that you have a very small, short, or limited connection with, somebody you stop at the same gas station all the time. And you know, they know you by name, you get to know them by name, and you just exchange niceties. How you doing today? You know? And sometimes they'll actually tell you really how they're doing. You know, things aren't going bad, things are going good, or this happened bad. And you begin to have some connection. It can be people at work, where you're just carrying on casual conversations at work as you pass the day. Maybe you're sitting around a lunch together, you eat lunch together, and you're striking up these conversations about life and what's going on. And it's just a casual conversation. It's not, you're not trying to stand in a pulpit, you're not trying to teach a Sunday school lesson or anything. You're just having daily conversations that you have with people. The ministry of the word can happen in those daily conversations. And just those little times with people that you know. Sometimes it's with your own kid. We call those teachable moments. Sometimes it's with a coworker. Sometimes it's with a friend. Sometimes it's with a relative. Just doing life together. And he says one ministry of the word is in casual conversations, where you simply bring Jesus into the conversation. And to look at how we can bring Jesus into our casual and everyday conversations. Just some easy ways we can do that. The second level that he says is teaching. Now, everybody carries on casual conversations. Not everybody teaches a Sunday school class. But everybody teaches. Everybody teaches. If you have knowledge that somebody else doesn't have, and you have the opportunity to share that knowledge with them, you're teaching them. It may be a new skill. Somebody's not very good with technology, and you sit down, you just simply teach them how to text. Or you teach them how to use an email in a more effective way. Or you teach them how to, it's something that you know that they don't, and you're passing on knowledge. And he says that the second level of the ministry of the word is teaching. And there are always times at which we're teaching. If you're teaching a new employee something, or a new coworker something, or you're teaching a child something, or you're teaching a Sunday school class, where you're passing on knowledge. And a lot of times in those casual conversations, as you're talking with people, sometimes you get the opportunity to teach a little bit. Maybe they've got a wrong view of Scripture, or a twisted view of God because of something that's happened in their life, or because of they've gotten hurt by religion or different things, or they're questioning, wondering, well, what you're a Baptist. What's the difference between a Baptist and a Muslim? Don't they all pray to the same God? Well, that's a teachable moment. It's where you can tell them what the Bible says and what we believe about God and the difference between us and Muslims or whatever religion. So the first level of sharing or ministry of the word is casual conversation. The second level is teaching. And some of us are called to teach. You teach a Sunday school class or a training class. You teach a Bible study. But all of us can move from casual conversations to teaching, and that's what we need to do. starts maybe in a casual conversation with somebody. They've got a question or they've got troubles going on in their family. They've got an issue, and you're just sitting down talking about it. Well, then maybe they've got a question about religion, or they've got a question about God, or got a question about what you believe. Well, then it can move on to a more teachable, structured environment where you're telling them some good news or knowledge about God. And then the third level is what I do up here. It's called preaching, where it's more of, rather than a dialogue or a give and take, a question and answer, it's where you're simply standing up and you're proclaiming. You're what we often think about preaching or proclamation, where you're standing and you're just telling someone, and they really don't get to give a whole lot of input on it. Sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. I like when we can talk back and forth. Teaching is more my gift, and preaching is a little bit tougher for me. I guess that's why it takes me longer to do it rather than just 20 minutes. But that's the third level. That's the more, I don't want to say the more professional or the more elite, but it's just something that not everybody's called to do. Not everybody's equipped to do that. So you may never make it to the third level where you're standing in a pulpit or giving a lecture about God or about religion or about things, but all of us work in that realm in the first two levels, casual conversations and teaching. And so I want us to look at some ways that we can operate in those two levels and how we can use our everyday life and the circumstances of our life and be intentional about proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, unpacking John 3:16 for people so that they can know the Jesus that we know, so that they can know the love and forgiveness that we know, because that's what it's all about. Church, if we're not doing that, then we're not really the church. Because Jesus saved us for a purpose. And it wasn't just to sit here and listen to somebody preach. It wasn't just to sit here and to be comfortable. It wasn't just to sit here and endure until we die or Jesus comes back. He saved us so that we would go therefore into all the world, making disciples, teaching them, baptizing them, and teaching them to obey everything that God's commanded. We're to be about sharing, teaching, creating new disciples. So, tonight I want us to look at that very first level of proclamation. And an example of that is found in John chapter 1. So if you will turn with me to John chapter 1. Now, you know that in this chapter, John makes the argument that Jesus is God. And in that very first part of that chapter, there's this beautiful word picture of who Jesus is, and it sets the foundation for everything that John tells us about that Jesus did in his ministry. It sets the foundation for the deity of Christ and the reliability and the believability of all the other things that John tells in the rest of his gospel. But I want us to focus on beginning in chapter 1, verse 35, where Jesus is starting his ministry. He goes and is baptized by John the Baptist, and the first disciples are called. And I want us to see how we can make the connections or use the connections we have with people, just some really close connections, some casual connections, but use our everyday friends that need to hear the gospel, to share the gospel with them. Look and be intentional about doing that. So if you will stand with me, we'll begin in verse 35 of chapter 1, the Gospel of John. It says, again, the next day, John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speaking, and they followed Jesus. Now remember, these are disciples of John the Baptist, not Jesus' disciples. And Jesus turned and saw them following him, and he said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying at?" And he said to them, "Come and you'll see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, talking about Roman time, about 10 o'clock in the morning. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So he found first his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translate means the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, the son of Jonah, or excuse me, John, which means Jonas in the Greek. And you shall be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said, Jesus said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael, and he said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Then Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so thankful that you have pursued us and you called us. You saved us. But God, you've given us the responsibility to go and invite others to come and see. To invite others to come and hear. And we've made it so much more technical than it should be. God, we've made it much scarier than it should be. God, we found out all kinds of ways to just make it hard when you just want us to invite people to you. So God, I pray that as we look at this, you'd open our hearts and our minds, and God, you'd begin to reveal to us and begin to work in our hearts and our minds some situations that we are already in, some relationships that we're already in, that we can just tell them to come and see. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be intentional, to be excited about this good news that you have brought for all the world. May we be faithful in sharing it. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So Jesus is starting his ministry, and he goes out to meet where John the Baptist is. Remember, John is out in the wilderness, and he's baptizing folks in the Jordan River, and he's baptizing and he's preaching a message of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's baptizing people as they declare their sins and their need for a Savior. You know, and that's always the first step. If people don't understand that they're a sinner, they don't need a Savior. But when God begins to convict them and we begin to talk with them and they begin to see the differences in their life and our life, they begin to voice and admit, hey, you know, I'm messed up. I'm a mess. Sometimes I make bad choices. You know, we really don't have to do a whole lot of convincing folks that they're sinners. You know, most of us know when we mess up. Even before we were saved, we knew when we did something wrong. Paul says that the law of God is written on our hearts. You don't have to tell people most of the time that they're sinning. They'll usually readily admit the fact that they don't do everything right. They wish they'd do some things different. And that they're just, at times, a mess. So they already understand that. And when we, as Christians, can help them see, hey, we're a mess too. We hadn't got it all together. We're just as broken as you are. We're just as messed up as you are. And see, that's the problem, is that we don't want to admit. We've been saved, we go to church, and we really struggle with admitting that we're sinners. We in church we'll say, no, I don't have a problem with that. But when we get out in the world, we just really don't want to admit it. You know? We think somehow we've let God down because we admit we fail sometimes. God knows. God knows. We hadn't let him down. He knew before you were saved. He knew before Jesus died that you weren't going to live perfect after you surrendered your heart and your life to him. He knew that you were still going to mess up. And he loves us anyway, and he died for us anyway, and he saves us anyway. So we can't fool God, and everybody else knows our sin. We just fool ourselves most of the time. Everybody else sees how bad we mess up. Everybody else sees when we fall short. So why not go ahead and admit it? So when we can make that connection with people, when we're talking with people and we see that, hey, man, my life's a mess too. I struggle, but I've got some good news. And we can share with them. What has happened is these guys who are Jews, and they live around Jerusalem. Bethsaida is not far from Jerusalem. And then out in Galilee, John's been out there preaching. So these guys have been heard preaching, and the Holy Spirit's beginning to convict them and talk to them. And they grew up all their life looking for the Messiah. They've heard of all kinds of people that claim to be the Messiah in Jerusalem. Almost every Passover feast, there's somebody trying to raise up support and raise up fighters so they can overthrow the Roman government. Messiahs were a dime a dozen back in their day. So they were looking for the Messiah. They were hoping that he would come. They had heard all about him. And this new preacher, John, is out there preaching. And man, his preaching is anointed and people are being convicted. And these guys have heard it. And Jesus shows up on the scene. And John says, "Behold, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." This is John, this preacher, has proclaimed, "This is the guy you've been looking for. This is the guy we've been waiting on. This is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ." And so when they see that and they hear that, they begin to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, "What are you guys doing? What are you looking for?" "Well, we just want to know where you stay." "Well, come on and see." And before they ever went to see where Jesus stayed, it says that Andrew turned around and he found his brother first. Because his brother, good Jewish boy, looking for the Messiah, he goes to him and he says, "We have found the Messiah. We found him." And he brought him to Jesus. When he heard that Jesus was Messiah, when he understood, and this truth began to sink into his heart, he wanted to let somebody else know. And he didn't go explain all the biblical reasons Jesus is the Messiah. He didn't go and trying to give him a five-step way of proving that Jesus is the Messiah. He didn't walk him through the Roman road. He didn't come with some big program or some figured out. He just said, "Hey, we found the Messiah. We found the one we're looking for. We've been searching. And here he is. Come see." It says he brought him to Jesus. You know, there are people all over this community. There are people that you know every day who are searching for something. They're searching for purpose. They're searching for hope. They're searching for a meaning to life. They're searching to find, is Jesus true? They live in the Bible Belt. Many of them have heard about Jesus, but they're really not sure if he's real or if they need to put their faith in. The church hadn't been a very good poster child for grace and mercy and love that they hear about God. And they're just kind of skeptical, but they're searching. That's true of 99% of the people that you know. They're lost. They may be skeptical, but they're looking. So he says, "Just come and see." Brought him to Jesus. Says that the next day Jesus was out and about, and he found Philip, and he told Philip, "Come follow me." Philip, he says in verse 44, was in the city of Andrew and Peter. He had been around these two other brothers. He knew them. They were all looking for the Messiah. And Philip found Nathanael, his brother, and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law, also the prophets, wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Now that's a skeptic. "We found Jesus, and we found the Messiah. His name's Jesus. He's from Nazareth, and he's the son of Joseph. Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" What was his response? "Come and see." He didn't try to give him no big argument. He didn't try to go into some theological debate or anything. He just simply said, "Hey, come and see." Statistics say that 80% of unchurched people, 80% of unbelievers, Barna has done research, and other research companies have done research that say 80% of the people that aren't involved in church, 80% of the people that don't know Jesus, 80% of the people that are outside the church's influence said they'd be willing to come to church if somebody they knew would invite them. All it would take is a personal invitation from somebody they had a relationship with or a connection with. If they'd invite them, I'd be happy to go. Are we inviting? The easiest way to share the good news, if you don't feel comfortable telling the gospel, which I hope you do after we went through it, the easiest, the simplest thing you can do is just invite them to church. Invite them to Sunday school class. Wednesdays in July, we call our wonderful Wednesdays, and we cancel church on Sunday nights, and we ramp up our Wednesday night services. I hope you're praying about that and looking forward to that this year. I hope your Sunday school classes are already trying to figure out some ways that you can reach out into our community to do some service projects and that kind of stuff. But one of the easiest ways to do is if they won't come to church, if they had a bad example or a bad history or some bad thing that happened that they just can't get past about coming to church, a great thing to do is invite them to those Sunday school parties, something away from the church. Seeker Springs. How many people do you know that got small kids? Probably the vast majority of them don't go to church anywhere, because you look out in our community. There's a community. These woods are full of young families, people with small kids that aren't in church anywhere at any time, no association with church whatsoever. April 15th, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt up at Seeker Springs. Last year we had, gosh, they must have been 300 people. We're really expecting at least 500 this year. But are you inviting people? Just an opportunity for them to get to, hey, our church is doing this, a time that they're going to do the Easter egg, and we're going to try and be a little bit more intentional this year about sharing the story of Easter, the real reason for that celebration, and sharing the gospel. We did it a little bit last year, going to hopefully get a little bit better at it this year before we go out and hunt the Easter eggs and stuff. Easy way, just invite them. Come and see. Invite them to church. Hey, we're not trying to pressure you into anything. Just come and see what the preacher says. Come and see and sit in our Sunday school class. You ain't got to participate. You ain't going to get called on. Nobody's going to call you out. We ain't even going to make you stand up during time where we welcome guests. We're not going to make you wear a name tag. Just come in, sit down with us, and just see what it's all about. No pressure. Just come hang out. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. But how many people do we invite every week? How many people are you inviting every week? How many people do you know? You could pick two or three every week to invite. Statistically, 8 out of 10 that you invite is going to come. So are we inviting? These guys heard John's preaching, heard the testimony of John. They didn't know anything about Jesus other than what John had told them. And he simply said, hey, that's the Messiah. That's the one you've been looking for. So they started following him. And when they started following him, they said, hey, you got just come and see. Just come and see. You don't need to have no big spiel. You don't need to have some great theological argument. Just be authentic, care about people, and invite them to come know more about Jesus. Church is the simple part. Sunday morning Bible studies or Sunday school classes. Sunday afternoon. What about in those times where you're at work and there's people that you know, and maybe you have some religious conversations. You have some talks about different religions, or talks about what the Bible says, and they've got some misunderstandings and stuff. And how hard would it be to just say, hey, let's take half of our lunch break every day or twice a week. Let's bring our lunch. Let's say, hey, let's bring our lunch on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we're going to bring our lunch, and we're going to sit in here in the lunchroom in the break area or wherever you want to, outside, whatever it is, and say, hey, let's just see what the Bible says. Let's just study it together. Just come and see what it says. Maybe they've got questions. Hey, let's see what the Bible says about that. Or hopefully you can say, well, you know, I've struggled with that same thing. Maybe it's raising kids. Maybe it's dealing with illness. Maybe it's dealing with some relational problems or things in their marriage or whatever it is. Everybody's got problems. And their problems are pretty much like our problems. And hopefully we've let God work in our problems, and we've trusted God, and we've walked by faith, and we've let him work in our heart and our life. He may not have caused the problem to go away, but he's given us the strength to walk through it. He's given us the hope to go through it with joy and persistence and consistency. And he's helped us through that struggle or that problem or that relational difficulty. And we can say, hey, I've been there. I know where you're at. And I tried a lot of things, but this is what God did. And you simply tell them how God's been at work in that situation in your life, how God has been faithful in this certain area of your life because you have pursued him and you've trusted him and you walk by faith. Hey, you're not trying to convince them that Jesus is real. Just hey, come and see what Jesus did in my life. Come and see what Jesus did in my circumstances. Just come and see. You're not trying to make some big, deep theological exchange. Let's just see. This is my experience. This is what I've found to be true because it's worked out this way in my life. So, the very minimal, the very basic way of sharing the gospel is just simply inviting people to come and see. Maybe it's starting a Bible study in your home. We have a men's Bible study. It meets every Thursday morning at 6 o'clock, actually a quarter to 6. I try and make it there about 10 till. If I can beat D-Wayne there, I'm doing good. I feel bad when D-Wayne gets there before I do. But we meet there every Thursday morning at Old South Diner. We have 9 to 11 guys show up Thursday morning before work. And we just simply walk through the Bible together. We're walking through the book of Acts right now. And just looking to see how we can apply the Word of God in our lives. And we're just coming to see what the Bible says. We're coming to see how we can be used by God in our day-to-day life. And it's been great. Been great for me. I don't know about these guys, but it's been great for me. We got some from our church, some from another church, some from in town that come. That aren't affiliated with us or any other church out here. People that have just been invited, some friends. So those kind of things that where you can just say, hey, I don't have all the answers, and maybe they're just searching, and you're not comfortable with getting into a whole lot of deep theological things, and you're not really good at making an argument for the gospel. Hey, the best thing you can do is just, hey, come and see. I just want you to come and see who God is. Listen for yourself. You make your own decision. You make your own judgment. But just come and see. Everybody can do that. I'm telling you, we're coming up on Easter. And in the Bible Belt, there's two days that almost anybody that's been raised in the Bible Belt will agree to go to church. It's Easter Sunday and Christmas. They'll show up then. They're pretty wide open about, hey, I'll come to an Easter service. I'll come to a Christmas service. Really no threat. What better time to start inviting people for Easter? After this coming Sunday, we're going to start our Easter series. And we're going to be talking about the events in Jesus' life that leads up to the crucifixion and the resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. So this next series is a very great series for people to come that don't know much about Jesus. Maybe they've got questions and maybe they don't really know. I mean, they've heard the Easter story, but what's the significance of it to today and the things that led up to it? What's the significance of those things? And be a great time for you to invite some of your unbelieving friends. Just say, hey, we're getting geared up for our Easter service and talking about the resurrection of Jesus. Maybe they're kind of skeptical. Who believes in somebody that's raised from the dead? What good comes out of Nazareth? Just come and see. Just come and listen. And then you make your own judgment. I'm going to tell you, that puts a lot of pressure on your preacher. But I'm going to do my part to study, and I'm going to pray that God will anoint the messages, and he'll open up the hearts and the minds of people, and he'll use this old redneck Southern boy to just lay out the truth of who Jesus is in a way that people can understand it. So just invite them. If there's anybody that you know that has any questions, maybe you ain't talked about it in a while, but it's been they've had questions before, and they just, you know, it's just kind of, you've kind of let it go because you hadn't been real comfortable trying to answer those questions. Great time to invite them to church. Hey, we're starting our Easter series leading up to the resurrection. We're going to be talking about who Jesus is and some truths about who he is and that he is the Son of God, and hopefully going to answer some of your questions. So, hey, I'll meet you out front. I'll be waiting on you. Or I'll be, this is where I normally sit. Come in and sit with me. And be looking for them. You got an 80% chance, statistically, that they're going to come. Great time to invite people. So, the very minimum that we can do to start sharing the gospel is just invite people to come and see. You're not trying to convince them. You just let them come and hear and make up their own mind. You're not trying to pressure them. You just come and hear, make up your own mind. And put it that way. Hey, just come and listen. Just say, if you'll come for these next 5 Sundays, if you'll commit to coming to 5 Sundays, and then I won't bother you again, you just come and listen and make up your own mind. No pressure. No pressure on you. You just pass it right on to the preacher, you know, like good Baptist. It's okay. Just get them here. I want them to hear the truth of who Jesus is. And if you'll invite them, more than likely they'll come. What are some ways that you think that you could just bring Jesus into casual conversations? I'm going to give you a little bit of chance here to have a little input. Maybe it's something that you've done already. Hey, I've tried this and it works. You know, but what that takes to where people will notice that you're different is you've got to be authentic. That's one thing that especially this generation right below me, they're looking for people that are authentic. That's why it's so important that you let them know you're broken too. Hey, I'm just as messed up as you are. I struggle with the same things you struggle with. I have the same problems you have. I struggle with raising teenage kids just like you do. I have problems in my marriage just like you do. But this is how God has been at work in those situations in my family. And being authentic makes the gospel believable. Instead of being part of the problem, we become part of the solution. Being intentional. Being intentional about bringing Jesus into our conversations. Everybody's looking for something. They don't know what they're looking for, but they're looking for something. His name's Jesus. They're just as messed up as I am. Yeah. building those relationships and being available to help carry the burden. But they need more than just somebody to talk to. They need more than just somebody to unload on. They need somebody that can give them hope. And when they see us living in hope in troubled times and hardships and difficulties, when they see our joy in the midst of the trouble of life, then they see our hope. And then they say, well, you're going through some of the same junk I'm going through. Why is your response so different from mine? How can I know about that? Pray with them, yeah.
Bring. Not only was I going to pray for them, but just pray right now.
Yeah.
And that meant getting their name, and introducing myself. At that point of conversation, maybe you get
them. Well, and it's a great gospel presentation when you're praying to a God that's listening, and you're praying because Jesus died for you, and you're praying the gospel over them. So that's bringing the gospel into an everyday situation. And that's what it's all about, just being intentional about bringing Jesus into your conversation, into your relationships. And just live it out. Invite people to Bible studies. Invite people to where you lead a Bible study, or you just simply search through the Scripture together. All kinds of different ways that you can just say, hey, come and see this man Jesus. Might be something we need to do. But the other thing we need to do, and talking about that particular day, we have lots of people that'll go work, and I'm so thankful for that, that'll hide Easter eggs, that'll help little kids hunt Easter eggs and do the games and cook and prepare food and do all those kind of things. We got people that'll work, but what we need are people that will just walk around and talk to other people. Because if you're working, you ain't got time to carry on a conversation. If you're working, you don't have time to make a connection. So if you're one of those people that's like me, you can talk to anybody. Man, we need you. And even if you can't talk to anybody, we need you anyway. Get out of your comfort zone, and maybe you'll run into some folks that you already know and start talking with them and inviting them and just talking about Jesus. Hey, we're here just because we love you, God loves you, and we want you to know about this Jesus that Easter's all about. That's why we're here. So be praying about that, not just praying to work. I mean, you don't need to pray about that. God wants you to come work. The other thing you don't really need to pray about is whether you want to come tell people about Jesus. He wants you to do that already. So be thinking about that and getting prepared to come and do that. That's our greatest need on that. Well, hey, I want to just spend just a few minutes. Miss Sharon, I don't know if y'all got anything prepared, but if you'd just come up and play Just As I Am or whatever you want to play just for a few minutes. I want us to spend just a few minutes thinking about somebody that you already have a connection with. Miss Kay, you don't have to worry about it. She can just come play because I don't know what she's going to play. So think about somebody that you already have. It doesn't have to be a big connection, just a slight connection. Somebody that you begin to pray, God, who am I connected with that I can invite to come and see in some way? And if you'll do that, I know God will show you. He says, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers into the harvest. And when you're doing that, He's going to be faithful to send you most times. So as she plays, I just want us to sit right where you are, just bow your head, begin to pray, and maybe even commit to be more faithful and commit to who you're going to invite to church for Easter. But let's just spend a few minutes.